Hello, brothers and sisters. And you really are my brothers and sisters in so many ways. I just ask now, as we enter Palm Sunday and we go through Holy Week, this is a time to really take a look at our lives. We see what God did for us, for our sin. How have we followed that? Have we done what we're supposed to do? When you think that there's maybe several things, just take one of them right now. If it's just one thing, please grab hold of it and say, this is what I need to change in my life, that my life might conform more to Christ. No matter what sin, no matter where you've been, ask God's forgiveness. So we take a look now at the readings. The first comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 50, verses 4 to 7. The Lord God has given me a well-trained tongue, that I might know how to speak to the weary, a word that would rouse them. Morning after morning, he opens my ear that I may hear, and I have not rebelled. Have you rebelled? I have not turned back. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard, my face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. The Lord God is my help, therefore I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. Read that over, brothers and sisters, and say, what is it in my life? Perhaps you've been doing this through all Lent, which is the purpose of it. But if it's even now, ask the Lord, what have I done that has offended you? Just ask him. There may be nothing. Is there anything, Lord, you want me to change? Any way you want me to be different? So that I might reflect more of you to other people. That's what we want and need. We don't just have to put a pious mask on. We need to get into our soul and ask God, God, what do I need to do? What change do I need to make? Just one, but a big one. Psalm 22 tells us, my God, why have you abandoned me? All who see me scoff at me. They mock me with parted lips. They wag their heads. He relied on the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him if he loves him. Indeed, many dogs surround me. A pack of evildoers closes in upon me. They've pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They divide my garments among them, and for my vesture they cast lots. But you, O Lord, be not far from me. O my help, hasten to aid me. I will proclaim your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. That's us too, brothers and sisters. I will proclaim your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, when we're singing at church, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, give glory to him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. Read that over a few times today and take it into your heart. And then we read from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 6 to 11. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Don't we reach out for somebody else? Don't we want to grab onto people or associate with somebody who's famous because that makes us feel like we can be important? But Jesus, rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness and found human in appearance. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Brothers and sisters, I hear the name of Jesus being taken in vain, as we say, so many times. And I keep trying to say, Lord, I want to glorify you. Would you like to join me with that? Just in my own heart, each time somebody uses the holy name of Jesus in vain, I'm going to say, Lord, I love you. I'm with you. And then we take a look at the gospel. It's too long to read it. We know the gospel. But I want to say this. It's the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. And I can read part of it, but I certainly can't in this program, I don't think, cover it all. But I want to read from Luke chapter 22, verses 14 to 23, and then verse 56. When the hour came, Jesus took his place at table with the apostles. He said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you I shall not eat it again until there is fulfillment in the kingdom of God. And then he took a cup, gave thanks, and said, Take this and share it among yourselves. For I tell you, from this time on, I shall not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And then he took the bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which will be given for you. Do this in memory of me. And then, after he had eaten, he took the cup. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which will be shed for you. And yet, behold, the hand of the one who is to betray me is with me on this table. For the Son of Man indeed goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to debate among themselves who among them would do such a deed. And then an argument broke out among them about which of them should be regarded as the greatest. Think of the pride. He said to them, The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are addressed as benefactors. But among you it shall not be so. Rather, let the greatest among you be as the youngest, and the leader as the servant. For who is greater, the one seated at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one seated at table? I am among you as the one who serves. It is you who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer a kingdom on you, just as my Father has conferred one on me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat, but I have prayed that your own faith may not fail. And once you have turned back, you must strengthen your brothers. He said to him, Lord, I am prepared to go to prison and to die with you. But Jesus replied, I tell you, Peter, before the cock crows this day, you will deny me three times that you know me. So, brothers and sisters, you see what it was like for him. What is it for us? Have we betrayed the Lord? Where are you today? Have you ever betrayed the Lord in any way? What do we need, brothers and sisters? This is the time to repent. This is time to say, I've been swearing, I've taken the Lord's name in vain, I've acted out of my own wishes rather than asking God what he wants. I've put God in second place in my life. Please, Lord, please, I will repent that you might be glorified by me. Please, brothers and sisters, That's what we need to do. We need to glorify the Word by the words we speak. We need to glorify Him how we act. We need to glorify Him through the thoughts in our head. And that takes real discipline. But brothers and sisters, we love Him. He should be first in our lives. Absolutely first. Then my husband or my wife or my children. But it does mean, I know we can't spend all the time we'd like to with God, but put Him first. Even if that's, as I've said to you before, even if that's 15 minutes or 15 minutes in the evening, please open your heart to Him. Raisa Maritain, wife of philosopher Jacques Maritain, and she said this, she was a convert to Catholicism, God's will is adorable in all ways and under all its aspects. It is we who in homage and thanksgiving and by an act of faith that can sometimes rend our hearts proclaim that everything our Father in heaven wills, whatever He may will to decree and whatever He may permit, is good, because it is He who has willed it. In saying, Thy will be done, we rejoice that there is nothing evil in the will of God, even if He deals sternly with us. To ask that the will of God be done is therefore sometimes a gift and abandonment of ourselves made in full agony. Perhaps it will be necessary to go so far even as to the sweating of blood. Jesus gave us the example, having first said, My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He added, Yet not as I will, but as you will. This prayer of Jesus is at the heart of all human sorrow and of all human hope. He had to die because He had taken upon Himself all the sins and all the sufferings of the world. In consummation of His obedience and of the work He had come to do, it was before the definitive will of Him He loved more than His life that He bowed His own human will and made abandon of it. Our God is a crucified God. Christ's beatitude, of which we cannot be deprived, did not prevent Him from fearing or mourning or from sweating blood in unimaginable agony or from passing through the thrones of death on the cross. It is by a suffering God that we have been redeemed. Think of that, brothers and sisters. It is by a suffering God that we have been redeemed. This kind of glory of suffering, perhaps it is to this that correspond on earth the suffering of the innocent, the tears of children, certain excesses of humiliation and misery. It is almost impossible for the heart to accept without being scandalized, and which, when the face of the enigmatic world has passed away, will appear at the summit of the Beatitudes. I will be praying for you, and please pray for me. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.